Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. With me today, Amra Nation. She's been on before. I can't wait to just dive into beverages. It has been a hot topic this year as a whole. Yeah. And I honestly kudos to you and your LinkedIn and what you're posting and what you're doing, because you're so in tune with the beverage sector of the business, obviously being in Oregon. But in general, you really know what's going on. So again, if anyone wants to listen, you can listen to the prior episode. We really dig into like Emra's background, but maybe just the 10,000 foot real quick, who Emra is, and then we'll go right into some of these statistics and beverages.
Yeah. So my name is Emra, and I work with an amazing company called the Oregon Fruit Company. And we specialize in fruit purees and lemonade bases and all kinds of really fun fruit beverage concentrates and things for the beverage menu. And I've been working here about 6 years. But prior to this, I was in Oregon, another Oregon agriculture company. So I'm kind of a purist with the fruits and veggies. But yeah, I really spend a lot of time digging into like the beverage stuff and sort of what's happening in the world. And you're right, it's incredibly exciting. And you don't need to look any further than like your grocery store, you know, just like the refrigerated case, to be like, oh, hi, there's a sea of drinks here. And what is happening? And when did this happen? Right? It was never like this growing up.
Well, I mean, even look at Pepsi buying Poppi, right? That was a big change of acquiring something that was a probiotic or prebiotic. I don't know all the terms. You probably know better than me. But I think that was a big shift when that actually happened, and kind of showed where the things are changing. You know, I pulled some stats today. And it said like sales of non-alcoholic beer, wine, and spirits soared by 26% this past year. That sector's anticipated to grow 18% between now and 2028, $5 billion. That's insane. So I think I want to start there first and really get from your perspective, why is it? Is it just Gen Z? I mean, I think even like millennials, like I don't drink near as much as I used to. What's your take on why it's just soaring and becoming so popular?
You know, I kind of liken it a little bit to when cigarettes really stopped being cool. Like when we were young, you know, you knew somebody was cool because they stood outside smoking cigarettes, and you knew they were like a bad kid and they were doing cool stuff. Well, and then all of a sudden, cigarettes was made so clear how absolutely unhealthy they are, and they're so bad for you, and they're bad for your health, and they cost you a bunch of money, and they make you stink, and all this, that, and the other. And people really started to like take notice, and suddenly it became really cool to quit. And I think alcohol is kind of going through a similar transition here, where, you know, there's always going to be drinkers, but a lot of people are just like, I don't know if I want the long-term effects of this. It increases your rate for every kind of cancer, and you know, this, that, and it's not good. It's expensive. You feel like crap the next day. And particularly as things like cannabis are becoming more and more regular and they don't have those same kind of side effects, I think that's kind of a longer term play for young people, is they don't want it. But that's a good question, Jeff, is when was the last time in the last 24 hours, let me ask you, have you had an adult beverage?
It's a good question. It was probably like 3 or 4 weeks ago. There was like a family get together on my wife's side, and they go up to Door County in Wisconsin, and they produce this cherry beer. And the only and I love it because it's like it's not one of those you drink a bunch of them. It's just a really good just kind of hang out, enjoy, because it's a little bit on the sweeter side. But it's phenomenal by New Glarus, is the brewery. So that was probably a month ago, but that's probably the last drink I've had in the past month. And then before that, I don't know if I could tell you the last time I had something, unless I was at like a show or something and everyone's out and I had just like one to just, you know, with everyone else. But outside of that, just the one.
Isn't that interesting? So we are at a record low of people like reporting that they have had an alcoholic drink in the past 24 hours even. So in the past 90 years, the number has always been higher. And now only 24% of Americans are saying that they've had a drink in the past day. And if you kind of do your math here and think about 90 years ago, what was going on, it was prohibition. And so they couldn't drink. And alcohol has just been such a huge part of our culture. And now it's like we are choosing like, I kind of want to do something else. And so I think it would be really interesting for more bars, particularly big like chain restaurants and these kind of folks to really focus on that space and put a little more energy into it, because I think a lot of consumers want to go and have the experience of having a drink and having a cocktail without it being like, here's a lemonade while everyone else has a fun drink and they get a cool glass with all these fun things. And
well,
they
that,
get nothing.
That, well, that and it's, again, this is, I want to dive into this, that cost gap, right? Mocktails used to be so expensive, almost as much as the alcohol. And you're like, well, what am I getting out of this? And now, obviously, people are taking it to the next level. They're getting more complex. So it's actually a drink that does taste good because there's some complexity, like a piece of food, right, or a dish. So has that gap been close at all? Or is there still a big enough gap that, you know, there's still some people that are like, nah, I'll still stick with alcohol because I feel like I'm getting a better value?
Yeah, that is an interesting question because, yeah, I think a lot of people do still see like I'm getting a value because I'm getting the buzz off of it. Of course, I'm sure you've heard there's a lot of bars, particularly down in like LA and kind of coastal cities where they're doing like CBD kind of bars and THC bars and just totally non-alcoholic bars. But I do think that as more particularly independent restaurants and really cool, interesting up and coming hip places really play in this space, you are still seeing premium cocktails. And if you can add some kind of functional element to it, so whether it's, you know, a sleep aid or it has a little caffeine or it has collagen or, you know, whatever it is, anytime you can add any of that stuff, it's like getting a booster at a smoothie place, right? So you're willing to pay a little extra for that little hit right. of whatever.
Yeah. Right. No, it's yeah, because I think people's perception anyways, when you go out, I don't feel, to your point, that coolness, like before, like if you didn't have it, you had the peer pressure and everyone saying, oh, you big pansy, have a drink, it's not going to hurt you. Whereas now I think people respect it a little bit more and aren't up in arms when you're like, I'll take the hibiscus lemonade, whatever, you know, cocktail, because they'll still try and, you know, make it feel inclusive. And then people are just kind of like, okay. Or maybe I'm just getting to an age where I don't give a shit about what people think anymore. And I'm like, I don't care if you want to drink. I'm not going to judge you. If you want to drink, go have fun, drink. I just don't want to feel like crap for the next 2 days.
Totally. And I think this is an interesting conversation that we're falling into as kind of a society right now, is so many young people are making it so normal and it's completely normalized. But a lot of restaurants are still feeling like they have to call out and they have to call it a mocktail on the menu rather than giving it just a cool name like you would any other cocktail. So I sort of think we'll start seeing more of that, where potentially there's going to be more mocktails on a menu than there are cocktails. But it will take time. And, you know, right now, if I go to a bar, in fact, just not too long ago, I was at a nameless chain, I will say. And, you know, we were looking at their bar menu, and it was all these fun, colorful, cool drinks. And all they had for mocktails was like lemonade or, you know, diet soda or whatever. And it's like, you know, this is a little too bad. So we asked the bartender, can you make us one of these just without the alcohol? And she was really struggling to figure out how to make it. And she did. But then she's like, if it doesn't taste good, let me know. Like, you guys don't have standard recipes for this. That should be done for those folks. So I think the big chains in our world have some catching up to do, but independents are definitely showing up in a big way. And even like fast casual restaurants are putting some interesting beverages on their menu, even if it's in a bubbler, and calling it a mocktail, which I think is great.
Like what kind of drinks are they doing?
So I've been seeing one of my favorite accounts. It's actually this concept down in, they're based out of Utah, called Cafe Zupas. They have a drink on their menu called a mango mojito mocktail. And it's in a bubbler, and it has mango in a kind of a lemonade base. They've got freeze-dried mint in there. So you get the little pieces of herb, and it's just a really fun drink, and it does really well. And of course, it looks beautiful. And so people eat with their eyes first.
Yeah, we did a mango mojito with actually a gelato machine, but the sorbet, and we did mango sorbet and did all the same. We did the muddling of the mint and the lime, and then we put the sorbet in it, and then put the club soda, and then mixed it, and it was delicious. Like, it was like, this is something I would drink, and it doesn't have to have the alcohol. You could just glug it in there and stir it up, and it tastes good. But I think that's what it's got to be. It's got to have taste, so people feel value. You know, again, like a dish, it almost feels kind of like the plant sector that has been, you know, for a long time. Everything on the menu was plant-based. You just saw that, or vegan this, vegan that, and now it's kind of like the way they're trying to go is just more natural ingredients and some of the less fake stuff. But the point is like on the menu, it doesn't say plant this or that. It's just, it happens to be that, but this is a really good fulfilling dish on its own.
Right. Well, and that's just people becoming more and more aware of what they're putting into their bodies. And I think younger consumers have had this benefit of just having all the information on God's green earth at their fingertips. Right. And so they've had the luxury of being able to really explore what a lot of these ingredients that we find in food do and what they're for. And they can really make some educated decisions about what they want to put into their bodies. And so I think that is really what's driving so many concepts, really making sure that they're labeling really well of like what's their food. But now so many of us, like we don't want to have a bunch of preservatives in our food. We don't want to have, you know, a bunch of added color and artificial ingredients. Like, we just want food. So I think you're going to see, particularly in the beverage menu, you're going to see some of those syrups and, you know, shelf stable kind of stuff. I think you'll start seeing that sort of go by the wayside for things that have a nice cleaner label, which I'm all for.
Yeah, I food's having that kind of renaissance. Everything's kind of going back to just core, good quality, properly raised, whatever, you know, it is. I definitely think on the food it's happening too. And I think there's definitely ways, right? There's a lot of smart people out there. And I know like you guys and some of the things that you add into drinks kind of fit in that bubble as well of just having a high quality product that's pure. And then you're just adding things to that to then complement it. And then boom, now you have this explosion of flavor that people are going to be like, I want more of that.
Totally. Well, and being able to really like layer flavors, and like as beverages are getting more complex, there's more you can do with it. And it's been really fun, particularly to watch chefs who are always dealing with food and suddenly have to kind of translate this. And it's like you're learning a whole new base of ingredients and you have this new toolkit to work with when you're making beverages, but they can be just as complex as any kind of sauce or even composed dish. And I just think it's really fun to see the way beverage is really just like expanding and exploring and like booming, right? I think we're going to continue to see some really cool, innovative stuff out there.
Yeah. And you show it off. You show it off on LinkedIn. And I want to talk about it because I love the videos you do. They're so simple and easy. Like that's the beauty of it. It's not this complex, like 45-minute video of here's how you make a drink. It's 1 minute. Here's how you make a drink. Walk me through why you started making some of those videos. Like what's your inspiration when you're like, okay, I'm going to make a video today and I want to show people this. And you're obviously adding in a lot of organ products, but what's the inspiration behind all of it?
Yeah. So it kind of started as a little bit of just like a thought experiment, right? Like maybe I am just going to try and show some of my customers, really, which is who I'm connected with on LinkedIn, of like just how easy it is to make something unique and some kind of signature something. And it doesn't have to have operational complexity. So that's kind of how I started. And I thought, well, let's build it around like dumb national holidays that, you know, every day is the national whatever day. And so that's kind of how it started. And I thought every Friday I'm going to post a recipe. And then about 2 months in, I'm like, oh, wow, do I really want to do this every Friday? But I have stuck with it. And it's just been really fun to kind of learn a little bit about, like, you know, like I did one like, hey, it's Hawaii's birthday as being a member of the nation, right, as being one of our states. And so I did a Mai Tai kind of a drink. And it was really fun to also be able to learn so much about sort of not just Hawaii, but learn about Mai Tais. And it's just, you know, you can find inspiration all over the place. And these holidays have been kind of a fun way to explore where we can go. And, you know, it's just as you learn the history. And so it was fun to learn like pre-prohibition drinks. And, you know, I've been learning more and more about things like how to layer beverages and how to make fun hot drinks. And it's just been really fun to educate myself and also make these fun little dorky videos.
Go into some hot fun drinks, because I've been all about tea lately and different components. So I'd love to hear your hot drink recommendations and where that's going.
So my latest obsession is what I'm calling a not toddy. And it's so I work for a puree company, right? So I have a apple puree that has some warming spices in it. And I literally just add it to hot water and put some lemon in it. And it's so good. And it's just the easiest, fastest, you know, free ingredients, brainless. But, you know, I really love playing around, like, a lot of the tea elements, you know, herbal tea. So a beautiful hibiscus tea. And, you know, chamomile tea and a mint tea, ginger tea. You can make so many cool beverages. And I am not always, but I really do obviously like to focus on what fruits can pair with these. And so much of it too is now I have to also consider how it looks visually. And that's been a brave new world, because normally I don't care what my drinks look like, but now I do. Like, how do I garnish them? What do you do? But yeah, playing around with teas has been a lot of fun, and mixing teas with kombuchas and steeping tea in non-dairy milk is trying all kinds of fun things.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never even thought to do tea in a non-dairy milk. That's an interesting one. Yeah, because I started getting more, I was more of in the camp of the relaxing chamomile type-y stuff, you know, at night. But then I got this kind of like flavor pack from, I've gotten into loose leaf stuff, right?
Oh, okay.
Because I got little containers that you put it into. I was just, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking into it too much when people are like, you know, tea bags got this and it's processed this way. And that's just, you're putting 210 degree water on it and whatever's in there. I'm like, maybe that isn't good for me. Anyways, that aside, but it had a mango mix. That was phenomenal. It was literally like dried pieces of mango, and I don't know what else was in it. It was like, it's like five or six ingredients. I think the brand is like Tiesta. No, it's through Amazon. And I like their tea. One was a blueberry. One was this like called Firebird, and it's, oh my God, which berry is it? It's another berry. It's going to, I'll think of it as we're talking. And they're so delicious that, because originally I'd have to put a lot of honey just to kind of mask, you know, to make the tea palatable for me. I don't have to put a whole lot in it because it's already got that some of that natural sweetness that's from the dried fruits. And that's really been a big kicker for me as of late, is some of these fruited teas.
Yeah, you know, and that's something I think a lot of people don't think about, is that kind of anything can be a tea. All you're doing is letting it sit in warm water and it can be tea. It doesn't have to be from a leaf. And so, yeah, you can add all kinds of things. You could add vegetables if you wanted, but then you're getting more of a stock, I guess.
That's a good point. But people drink stock and broths for just
for added protein, whatever.
They just drink it. Another trend that's happening, dirty soda. So this has kind of been around, but I think some of the bigger chains, or I guess they were small chains, big chains, are really bringing it to life. So maybe explain what a dirty soda is and what you guys are doing with it.
Okay, so dirty soda, this is one of my favorite topics because I get asked about it all the time. This is basically, it's a carbonated beverage with some sort of dairy element, whether it's, you know, cream, half and half milk, or a non-dairy creamer, whatever. They got popular from a company called Swig, based down in southern Utah, and it was about 15 years ago that this brand came to life. And it's actually, the name Dirty Soda came from one of their customers. So they would come in every day and they would get a Dr. Pepper with lime, and then they would put like coconut creamer or something in it. And they said, oh, this is my dirty Dr. Pepper. And the owner of that company, her name is Nicole Robison, I think. She trademarked that name, Dirty Soda, wisely, very wisely, because now nobody can call their drinks Dirty Sodas. But you'll see iterations of it, like, oh, make it dirty or whatever.
Right, right.
So she owns the name. But what I find amusing about this is we think of dirty sodas as being so new. But if you are just adding cream to a carbonated beverage, like the root beer float has been around for 130 years. Italian sodas and cremosas, they've been around for centuries. But no one's really thought about that, right? And it's kind of fun to see them have a resurgence now that beverage is such a big booming thing. And I really do attribute it to the fact that alcohol content and alcohol interest in sales are going down is people are looking for new, interesting ways to have fun with beverage. And dirty sodas have been a great place to go. In fact, I was researching the other day that Google searches for it are up 1,300% year over year. So they're insane. Booming. People are very curious about them and they're really good. And I think it's a smart move for restaurants to really dive into this because they not only do they taste good and they're super customizable, which everybody wants, but they are beautiful and they look so good in a photograph. People get them in their hand and it looks like it does in the picture.
Yeah, that cream as it goes through whatever liquid and just floats around. I mean, people love that stuff. Yeah, I think you're on to that. Fast food, they're doing right. McDonald's, Cosmics, right? They tried it. I think they learned a lot, and I think they're probably taking a lot back to the core McDonald's because obviously, Cosmics. They're all closing because there was the one in Bolingbrook here and they're all closing, but I think they learned something from it that like people want it, but I don't know, I don't think it was as strong as their brand they have. People are just like, why would I want to go to McDonald's and then have to go to, another place just to get a specialty drink? So I think they're taking it to it. And I think if more restaurants kind of tap into it, because as alcohol phase, we've kind of talked about, you got to replace it with something because the model always was, if you want to make money in a restaurant, make sure you serve liquor. Right. Because there's tons of money to be made. You're pouring whatever and you're just jacking up the price. And I think if they have the right menu of drink options, I think they can still capture that. And it's still a big thing because beverages are a easy way to upcharge on your menu.
Oh, my gosh. And they're so profitable. it's a great way to make money on your menu. And it's so operationally easy. And I think this is why you're seeing such a huge growth in brands like Dutch Bros and Seven Brew and Scooter's Coffee, and like all these like beverage brands, as well as like snack brands, because it's easy operationally, it's very profitable. And consumers, particularly young consumers who, their cost of living is outpacing their salary increases. And so they're kind of looking, where can they save a buck? They may not have a whole meal, but they might go get like a pretzel and a fun frozen lemonade or something. And it's also kind of fun, low-grade self-expression, because you could go make your own custom whatever. And I'm adding this and I do that. And, everybody in the car can get a different drink, but it's got the same basic five elements.
Yeah. Maybe this is showing as I'm getting older, there's a place right by our house that does boba. And my kids have kind of started to be, thanks to Starbucks, we'll leave it at that. And my wife, and I don't know, maybe I'm old, but there's something about tapioca pearls and the chew that I'm like the popping ones in the mouth just aren't my, I don't know. My kids love it because it just explode, but I'm old, but I didn't realize how many flavors you could make with boba. Their menu is, it's like 40 drinks, and there's boba, there's like the milkshakes, and then they do just like the milk. I think they're calling them milk teas. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Milk teas.
So let's maybe touch on that subject. And I mean, it's still around. I think it was like people thought it was a fad and it was going away, but it's still around. There's a ton by me.
Yeah. And I think it's actually growing. I feel like there's two camps of people in the world. There's the people who like texture in their beverages and people who don't. And so, I totally get not liking the boba. It's not for everybody. And for the people it is for, like that's really what they're looking for, that they want this texture in their drink. And Gen Z especially is like, they're really drawn to like outside the box ideas and like things they've never seen before. And so when boba came to the States, it was like, oh, this is crazy. This is wild. And I only have to pay $4 to try it. So it's sort of a cheap entry level fee. And boba is just, it is everywhere. And now I think what they've opened up is this floodgate of different textures showing up in beverages, just like the popping pearls, which, love them or you hate them. We're starting to see obviously more like freeze-dried fruit in beverages. You're seeing more little pieces of diced fruit. You see more herbs. And it's kind of leaning into that whole mocktail thing again of like, let's make them more complex. Let's make them more interesting and give people a bigger sensory experience. So you're not just drinking, but you're chewing or you're smelling or you're having a moment.
Yeah, I love the chewing. of a black boba pearl, like the tapioca pearl. It's just, I don't know, there's something about it. I just love just getting those and just chewing and chewing and chewing them when I'm out. I'm almost like sad because I'm like, I want more of the pearls. And I didn't realize also, I was doing some drinks, this was months back, how many types of like actual tapioca pearls there are. I went to an Asian market. There's a lot of different types of tapioca pearls. I don't know if you are aware of that or not, but there's,
I don't think I white, knew that. No.
There's like white, black, they make green tea ones. They make, I can't even explain it, but if you stop by an Asian market, if you have any around you, and just go an authentic, like the true one, where if you're an American, unfortunately, like it's very hard to find what you want because you have to go up and down every aisle because nothing is in English and nobody speaks English. But yeah, there are at least 10 varieties of actual tapioca pearls out there.
Yeah, that's amazing. I did not realize that. But at the same time, like it doesn't really surprise me because and I wonder how many of them are like, how long have they been around and how many of them have like just been introduced in the past 2, 3, 5 years, something like that.
Yeah, I think, well, black and white, I'm assuming it probably been around a long time because I think that was traditional. And then all these other ones, now they're kind of infusing the tapioca with these other flavors. So that way when you chew, it's not just that kind of normal, I don't know what you give, tapioca. I love that flavor and taste. But I think it's just to kind of give it a dynamic and another complexity. You've talked about how people are looking for that texture in drinks. I love it. I love texture in a drink. I haven't seen the popping rocks. Are people doing it? Because like, you know, when they go in, they start fizzing. Are they adding that to drinks before they give to the customer? Are they giving them like a little packet of them? Like, how are they doing that?
I've seen people, typically it's like just as you're about to hand the drink to the customer, you dump it in, you hand it to them. It's not my favorite, but you know, I've seen people like you can rim a glass with them and do that kind of thing and make it give people this fun experience. But yeah, the texture in a drink is huge. And I'm actually not surprised because your kids are pretty little, aren't they?
Yeah, 9 and 6.
Yeah. So they're Gen Alphas. So you're talking about kids who are being raised on these like experiences, getting something to chew on in their drink. But like 40%, I think that's what it is, 40% of Gen Z consumers drink things like boba teas and popping pearls on a regular basis. And if you talk to boomers about it, they're like, I don't want to know. I'm not trying it. Stop it. Don't even bring it near me. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So it kind of almost makes your beverage more of a snack. And so as consumers are trying to get more bang for their buck, sometimes they'll skip lunch and get a drink with the snack already in it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of same way. It's convenient because I'm sucking it out of a straw. I don't got to get my fingers dirty. I don't have to touch anything. I can just drink it as I go. And then snacks are so many empty calories in most of them that are out there, or they're so expensive, the healthier ones, because of the ingredients that it takes to produce those snacks, that you're just like, I'd love to have a bag of that, except I don't have $10 for a little 1-2 ounce bag, where, like you said, I can go get a milk tea with boba for like $7 and I'm getting like a 24 ounce.
Yeah. Well, and they're at a point now where they can also add different kinds of those functional things, right? It's like a Canada smoothie shop. Hey, here's your shot of energy. Here's your shot of this, that, or the other. And then people really feel like they're getting something more substantial than just a soda, basically.
Yeah. Now, I'd be remiss. I got to know what's on the horizon. Oregon's always got something going on. There's always something in the background. And I have to, whatever sneak peeks you can give me, because I love the product. So tell the folks, give us some skinny.
Tell the people what they want to hear. Jeff, I'm so excited because we are like on the precipice of launching this line of products that we are just introducing. We're calling them Real Fruit Refreshers, and they're just beverage concentrates. So this is a shelf-stable concentrate. And what people should know about Oregon Fruit is that we're known for having really high-end, clean label ingredients. So even though these products are shipping dry, they're actually made with real fruit and real sugar and just like real ingredients. There's not preservatives. There's not artificial ingredients in them. And they're just 4+1 concentrates. So we're doing 4 flavors. We're doing a Pacific berry, which is just so Oregon. We're doing we're calling it guava passion fruit, and it's like a play on a pog. So it's passion fruit, orange, and guava. But the orange is a cara orange. Delicious. We are doing a raspberry prickly pear. And my personal favorite is a pineapple limeade that is so delicious. It's so good.
That sounds fantastic.
Well, my brother, when they launch, I'm sending you a box and you'll have to taste them all and tell me what you think.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to get into the videos like you. I'm gonna give a shout out, and I'm gonna make all sorts of crazy. I love doing it. Like that's my jam now. Is creating crazy things. What can you add to this or that, and mix beverages with food, and how do you take those ingredients into sauces? Like I love doing that. Right. So rather than having to cook down a bunch of fruit and whatever else to make a compote or to make a puree, you can use some of these ingredients, especially if it's clean. That's again, my jam, no pun intended.
Yes.
So I can't wait. I will definitely be on the lookout, and I want to get them. When's time, any time frame on the horizon?
They are launching within the next month. So this may even be out by the time they launch, but yeah, we're love super it. Excited about it. We're going to make a big splashy marketing thing. And you know, I just can't wait for customers to taste them because they are so dang good. And our R&D team has been working their tails off on them, and they're amazing.
Love it. Kind of a final thought. Now, you know, the other day you made a video and there was a little guy in it named Meowskers, right? Is that Meowskers? Is that his name?
Yeah.
It was the funniest video I had seen in a long time. I saw it and literally it made my day. For those that don't, go to Emra's LinkedIn page. Go watch the video with Meowskers. She makes a mocktail, a meow. What did you call it?
Yeah, I don't know. A kitty cocktail.
Kitty cocktail. And the cat comes on camera and drinks it. It was the coolest thing in the world. So beverages are for your furry friends as well.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. So I, of course, following the dumb national holidays, saw that it was, you know, International Cat Day. And of course, we have this cat who's been with us for probably too long, to be honest. I mean, she's 19, very old creature.
Oh.
And incredibly picky eater and drinker. So I can't even tell you, Jeff, I like was doing research on cat cocktails. Which, like, who am I? But I was like, trying all these different recipes. You put some milk with water. I tried taking her tube treats and kind of making them with water. No, she wanted nothing to do with any of them. And I probably tried 6 or 7 different iterations, and they all just got ignored. And I was like, you are such an asshole. Love the cat, but she's a jerk. And so I finally was like, we're going tried and true. Water. And yeah, the catnip rimmed glass got the job done.
I love it. It was awesome. What other topics did we miss? Anything that's emerging? Is there a dark horse in the room that is just starting being talked about that, you know, we can in the next probably 6 months can be on the lookout for?
Well, you know, I mean, I think you're going to see more and more beverage concepts coming up, beverage ideas coming up. And if you happen to be a restaurant operator and you're trying to figure out how to navigate the beverage space, what I recommend you do is you go to the grocery store and you just wander down that aisle and see what's there. Because what you're going to find is beverages that are cold, that are colorful, that have fruit in them, and some of them have functional ingredients. And then pay attention to what other restaurants are doing. And you're going to find that their drinks are cold. Their drinks are colorful. Their drinks have fruit in them. And some of them you can add functional things to. This is what consumers are really looking for. This is what are the young consumers that everyone is chasing after. This is what they want. And if you can't deliver on a beverage menu, you're in trouble. So, yeah. And if you need help, give me a call because I'm here to help.
All right. On that note, what are the socials? How do people find you?
So, Emra Nation, I work with Oregon Fruit. I'm on LinkedIn. You can hit up the Oregon Fruit website, or you can shoot me an email at emra@oregonfruit.com.
Awesome. I'll put these in the show notes as well, because Emra is an amazing human being. Every time I get to see her at trade shows, it's usually when I get to see, since we're so far apart. It's such an honor, and your energy is contagious, and your bubbliness. It just... it's infectious. It really is. And I hope you stick with the drink ideas and videos, because it is something I kind of look forward to. There are very few things, but I do love when you post your videos and just different ideas. So don't stop. Keep doing it.
Of course. Never.
All right.
Thank you, Jeff. This has been so much fun. It's so good to see you again.
Yes, I love it. So again, in the show notes, I'll have all of this information, contact information. So until next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.